Moncrief on News Talk.
Are you punching above your weight in your relationship? Now, let's be honest, it's something that can lead to a lot of teasing, maybe a few raised eyebrows and some good-natured ribbing. But sometimes it can be hurtful and demeaning to the person who is the constant butt of the joke. So how do you deal with this relentless slagging and feel more confident in your relationship? Well, joining me now to discuss this is Mark Fennell, author and life coach. Mark, you're very welcome to the studio.
Thanks for having me.
I think every one of us listening right now knows of a couple where we've all said, how did he get her? Or how did she get him? Or how did he get him? Or how did she get her? We can all think of a couple in our heads right now. So, I mean, how do you manage this if you're the one who is, let's say, in quotes, punching and you're constantly being slagged about it?
Yeah, and for many people, because some people don't understand what does punching mean, basically where your partner is considered better looking than you.
Smoking hot.
So basically where it becomes a problem is when it's, I suppose sometimes because we all as humans have levels of insecurities. And, you know, when someone keeps reminding you that you are punching above your weight, it can sometimes exasperate those insecurities. It can make us a little bit, it's like throwing fuel on the fire. It can kind of instoke in us this level of, I'm not that great looking and, you know, so forth. And it can really just exaggerate our insecurities. They say that it's more of a male issue than a female issue, not to generalize, but they, from research, 35 to 40% of men believe that they're punching above their weight.
Okay.
But yet only 15% of women believe that they're punching, right? So most women believe that their husband's not, or partner's not as good looking as them. So, you know, and regardless of the situation, I suppose what comes down to, it will for sometimes be in jest. People just say it out of jest, it's not meant in it. But if it's a consistent and it's a constant and you're becoming stapled with that, it can lead to insecurities and it can really kind of erode your self-esteem.
And I would imagine, Mark, that it would also interfere with the relationship, because what you might end up with, and I'm just going to talk about a heterosexual relationship here, if a guy is being, you know, slagged all the time and how did you get her?
Yeah.
Eventually he might think that he's not good enough. Meanwhile, she's saying, you're wonderful, you're fabulous, I fancy you, I love you. But that could fall on deaf ears. So it could actually interrupt the flow of the relationship.
Yeah, now, without going into attachment styles, but sometimes what happens is the way we attach with someone or bond with someone, if you're an insecure attachment style, that can make, or an anxious attachment style, you can then just look for constant reassurance. And what can happen is the guy can start to overcompensate. So now he's buying extra gifts, he's always doing a lot of stuff, and he means well, but he's in fear of losing the person, particularly in a relationship. You'll sometimes see it if there's an age gap. You'll see someone then starts compensating in other ways. You know, I can't be, you know, reverse the years, but they buy gifts or they try and compensate in that way. And that can lead to chronic insecurity within a relationship. If left untapped and the reassurement isn't coming, it can actually eventually, not all, but sometimes lead to resentment. Mm. So the person feels like, you know, I'm playing second fiddle all the time, you know, and that can be a real problem. And then what happens is, I've seen scenarios where I used to do relationship mediation many moons ago, and this came up quite a bit, right? But what you'd see is then you see the resentment set in. And then what happens is you see this level of, should we say, bitterness. They start to kind of feel, you know, oh, they always think they're better. Oh, sure, everyone says I'm punching, you know. And this self-sabotage can even set into a relationship. Crazy stuff.
It is, it is. So maybe just a word out there. Maybe stop slagging your friend who's got the really smoking hot wife.
Yeah.
Are women less surface level than men? And by that I mean,
I hear you.
Yeah, do women kind of just go for the overall package? I think I'm saying this as...
Psychologically, they do.
Yeah, I feel like I've never always just gone for the face.
Yeah,
gone
no, that's for true. The You're very,
humor.
Very true. Very, very true. Yeah, I mean, psychologically, generally people, and not to generalize, but majority from research, females will generally go by how someone makes them feel as opposed to how they look. Now, looks are relevant at initial stages, but it's not the glue that keeps a relationship together, as we all know. Just ask anyone who's happily married at 80. Like, you know, when everything goes south.
When the looks are definitely gone.
You know, so, but what I'm saying is that, you know, yeah, it is the whole package. And I think this is what I always say to people, you know, if someone's saying to you constantly you're punching, and maybe they're trying to get in on you, maybe there's a little bit more, it's a consistent, what I always say is, look, In order for someone to offend you, you must care for their opinion. And maybe you're caring for people's opinions too much. You got to bear that in mind. The only opinion that matters is between you and your partner at the end of the day. And sometimes it's good advice to take, because if we listen to everyone's opinion, we'll never be everyone's cup of tea.
Yeah.
There will always be reason to find, you know, oh, maybe they're right. And what we don't want is, if you're feeling insecure and then someone says something you're punching, next thing you're feeling even more insecure. Sometimes healthy, you know, the word boundaries comes into play,
yeah,
and say, you know what, that's their opinion, but it doesn't mean it's my reality.
Okay, a couple of messages here. I know my wife is better looking than me, Mairead, and I love it. When I walk into a room, I can see everyone looking at her, and I wear it with a badge of honour. So it doesn't matter how much this gentleman is
love
slagged.
It.
Yeah. Mairead, I always get comments like, you must be loaded, or you must have a big Mickey, because my wife is so good looking. People think it's a fun joke, but I really hate it.
Yeah, it's not good. It's not good. You see, this is the thing. And most guys will laugh it off, or they might even say, oh, I know I'm punching. But if it's a constant, it can get in on you. A constant drop of water will bore a hole in the stone. For some men, it will bother them. And they think, you know, do people not feel that I'm worthy of her? Is the conversation we start to have with ourselves. The reality always comes back down to, like we've touched on, you've got to look at the whole dynamic of the relationship. She's not just with you for your looks. You know, at the end of the day, one might be better looking than the other, but then that's, you know, perspectives, and who says that's even true? You know, there was a time where you hear people say, I love a dad bod, you know, so everyone has a chance. But my point is, you have to remember whose opinion matters. And the fact that she loves you, you know, that's an honor that you have a human being that loves you back and you love them. And you got to get into your little bubble and say, that's all that matters. The rest of people's opinions is just fluff. Okay. You have to literally take that stance.
So what advice would you give to, say, that gentleman there who says he hates it? Okay, so what can he say to his mates or his family that won't make them go, who's got a stroppy head today or something like that?
Yeah.
What can he say?
The answer I would say is, have you ever asked her why she likes me? That's what I'd be doing. And drop the mic. But you know what? Like, well, why don't you ask her if that's what you're thinking? Why don't you ask her? Or just say, you know, listen, I hear you. But at the end of the day, you know, that there's more to the relationship than what they mention. But, you know, ask my wife. If you're wondering why she likes me, why don't you ask her rather than jumping to conclusions?
Well, that's very, very good.
I need
to have you on speed dial. Okay, I have never related to a radio segment more in my life, this person said. Lies, lies, lies. Girls are as much into looks than lads. I've had my look and my fashion picked apart by women that I have dated in the past.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's there's never one statistic or 100%. We have to bear that in mind. But generally, for a long-term relationship to function and last successfully, it is down to, and a study was done on 8,000 couples over a 10-year period, and they wanted to say, what is the secret sauce to a successful long-term relationship?
I would say,
go on,
friendship.
You're absolutely right.
Yes!
Right? But here's how they also concluded. What is the secret to a great sex life? The quality of the friendship within the relationship. So it all went down to the quality of the friendship.
Yes.
And that is not based off looks at the end of the day. Looks are important. Let's be real. But long term, it's not the glue that keeps it together. But that doesn't mean you don't make an effort, of course.
I'm not sure how my husband will feel about me telling this, but the first time I met him, now I was insanely hungover. I'm not proud of that. I don't really, but I was insanely hungover when I met him, and I was, you know, put talking to him. When I left him, I was like, he is such a lovely guy, but I wasn't looking to meet anyone.
Yeah.
I remembered his voice and I remember how he made me feel, which was really lovely, but I wasn't looking for a relationship. When I met him about 3 weeks later, he waved at me and I thought, who is that strange guy waving at me? And as I got closer to him, I went, oh my God, that's that guy, Louis.
Yeah.
And he's absolutely gorgeous, by the way. But I didn't remember immediately his face. It was the feeling, like you said.
Yeah.
And it was actually his voice as well.
Well, they say it. They say people won't remember what you say, how you look, but they'll always remember how you made them feel.
Yeah.
And that's always key. And that's, again, from a relationship perspective, that's always the thing. And a lot of people meet and it's for whatever reasons. And looks play a massive part at the initial
stages.
Very
beginning.
But it's not what you remember.
No.
You'll go, yeah, they're good looking, but you might not pick them out of a lineup, but you will definitely remember the person who made you feel good just as much as you'll remember the person who made you feel brutal.
Who made you feel awful.
Yeah.
Mairead, people say my wife is better looking than me, but I don't see it. I think we're very equal. She's a ride, but so am I.
Yeah.
That comes in from Seamus in Dublin. I love you, Seamus.
Good man, Seamus.
punching in a relationship. When my husband and I got together, he was slagged a lot for punching. He looked older than he is and wasn't bothered about style or fashion. But today, after over 20 years together, I'm the one who's now punching. I've aged averagely, but he's turned into an absolute silver fox and I love it.
The George Clooney's amongst us.
I think the best couples are the mismatched ones. I think there's something very sexy about them. Mm. We were chatting in the office earlier on about, I suppose, celeb couples, and we were all coming up with different ones. I think Mike Tyndall and Zara Phillips, like, I think he is definitely punching. I do too. And then I also mentioned Taylor Swift and your man Travis, and everyone in the office disagreed with me because I think Taylor is so beautiful and Travis is punching. But everyone else was like, no.
But this is it. It's always going to be perspective at the end of the day. But I will say, like, when it comes to mismatch, people will make assumptions based off, you know, surface level, you know, oh, it must be the money or it must be whatever.
Yeah.
You know, people don't really know. So if people don't know, don't let their opinion be, you know, the be all end all. When I'm working with someone on this, and this comes up, believe it, like when I'm working in corporates and so forth, and I'm working with teams, and you think, how does that come up? Because when we get into their insecurities as leadership or whatever else, and sometimes it can go back to, oh, people always said I was the ugly duckling or things like that, particularly in relationship. What I always work on is work on your self-esteem, and it's working on your confidence. Now, how do you do that?
Yeah.
Well, basically close the circle on the opinions you take on board. Sometimes we're open book. Just because they said it, we take it as truth. It doesn't mean it's true.
It's very hard to do that though.
It is. But one of the ways to do it is you draw into and you kind of get clear in your own mindset on, you know, well, who am I going to be? What am I good at? Focusing on our strengths and focusing on, we all have weaknesses. And when you start to, shall we say, cultivate that mindset of, you know what, I'm not perfect, but I'm good at this. I'm good at that. I have my strengths over here. And you start to make that more of a common narrative inside your head rather than the one of showing you how much you're failing at life.
Mm.
That actually builds confidence over time. They say that what we say to ourselves most commonly is what actually becomes our reality. So it's not as hard. It's hard, but it's not impossible.
But that's the thing. Sometimes if somebody says something and you may have already said it to yourself in your head, then it becomes really valid. Because sometimes I think, you know, we are mean to ourselves. And I think especially women can be very mean to ourselves.
100%.
And if somebody else says it, then you're like,
I saw that too.
It's definitely true.
Be your own coach. You know, sometimes say, if you were coaching someone, how would you speak to them? How would you speak to your best friend? That's the way we should speak to ourselves. We all know this. It's easier said than done.
If you could bottle it and I will drink the whole lot of it.
Or just get a life coach and you're sorted.
Right, I married a woman 7 years older than me. In our 20s and 30s, everyone was saying to me, wow, how did you get her? Now we're in our 50s, the tables have turned and all the females are saying to her, wow, how did you bag him? So it can all like level out in the end. You have to be attracted to your partner. I stopped finding my husband attractive. That's what has led us to getting a divorce. I loved his personality, but at the end, I didn't find him attractive at all. When looks fade, feelings can fade too.
Let me jump in on that. It's not the first time we've heard this scenario. Attraction is based off level of connection.
Mm-hmm.
And connection in a relationship needs to be on a level of intimacy. And I'm not talking about, you know, physical, but that level of connection and understanding. There's kind of, as humans, we all have certain needs and some are more important than others. For some, it's connection, some it's respect, some it's communication and different things. And so in that light, when those connections, should we say, like glasses of water, when they're not being topped up, the attraction starts to diminish because that was probably being topped up at the start. Maybe it's connection, maybe it's communication. You've heard of probably the love languages.
You have heard the love languages,
When they're not being topped up.
Acts of service.
100%, words of affirmation and so forth. When they're not being topped up, the attraction is proven to diminish. And you would probably find, and I'd say if I had 15 minutes with that person, God bless them, I would probably find that one of those was not being topped up over time. And again, and it eroded the attraction.
So this, I mean, what you're saying there, Mark, is there's a potential that that relationship could be fixed. It could be.
I'm going to say, because I don't know that specific, but I'm going to say more. Here's what I will say, and I've seen this in my own practice. More relationships can be fixed than you think.
Yeah.
If you have two parties willing to make it work. But both have to be compliant. Both have to want to, look, I can't stand them at the moment, but if you can, but I'm open to hearing suggestions. And done the right way with the right professional, you'd be surprised that more can be fixed than you think. Now, some can't be.
Of course.
But I will say more than you think.
Okay, before we wrap up, I'd love to know, what is the most common problem then that you have come across in all your years in this industry? In relationships.
Let's stick with relationships. Yeah,
just give people a little tip out there, something